From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music of Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents a special encore performance of The Local Honeys. It's a trio of young ladies well-versed in Appalachian and traditional music. Brought to you with the financial support of LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, a catalyst for creating a progressive and innovating community inspired by the arts, and Natasha's Bistro and Bar, Lexington's premier arts and entertainment restaurant known for contemporary dining with a lively venue of theater and music. Natasha's Bistro and Bar at 112 Esplanade in downtown Lexington. You'll find more information on the web at beatnik.com.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Red Barn Radio. I am your host, Adam Lucky, welcoming you to the Performance Hall at Arts Place in the great city of Lexington, Kentucky. Red Barn Radio welcomes the sound of old-time music with the Local Honeys. Their music takes us to a place in our past, but is performed with the excitement of today. The Local Honeys are Linda Jean Stokely on fiddle, vocals, and banjo, Montana Hobbs on banjo and vocals, and Stephanie Jeter on the auto harp, vocals, and banjo ukulele. Please stay with us as we hear their great music and stories. So please welcome to the Red Barn Radio stage, the Local Honeys.
Here's Red Barn Radio's host, Adam Lucky, speaking with the Local Honeys. Here's Adam.
Well, I am here with the Local Honeys. Let's introduce these ladies again. We have Linda Jean Stokely on the fiddle, vocals, and the banjo. We have Montana Hobbs on the banjo and the vocal. And we have Dr. Stephanie Jeter on. We got so many instruments here. Auto harp, banjo, ukulele, and it's another instrument, the voice, the vocals. When you hear this music, you can't help but smile. What is old-time string music? That's a pretty broad question, but if someone was to say, what do you play and what is it, how would you describe it?
It's an ongoing question. I get asked this a lot because it's not a genre that tons of people are familiar with.
Stephanie Jeter.
I try to tell them people confuse it with bluegrass, and I try to tell people that it's what came before bluegrass. It's what influenced bluegrass. It's the music that people were playing in the Appalachian region and other places that is very unique and individual because it was the music that was created before the radio and before mass production of music. So somebody might have got their guitar out of a Sears catalog and learned a couple tunes from somebody passing through town, and then they taught it to somebody else, and they kind of figured out their own way to do it. That's why there's so many different styles of banjo playing, and you can tell different styles of fiddle playing from the region because it was really unique to that area because it didn't get to travel too far.
Now, would you be able to pinpoint a specific origin point for the music that has probably come over from immigrants, Scots, Scotch, Irish, things of that nature? Would you say that the hills of Kentucky is kind of its epicenter? I mean, we just heard songs from the Carolinas. Is it all through the South, anywhere from the Appalachian Mountains?
Kentucky is really a huge part of old-time music because the style that Montana plays is called clawhammer. And a lot of people play clawhammer banjo, and that was played a lot all over the place. But specifically in Kentucky, most people were playing two-finger style banjos, and it's more complicated. And that's why it derived. Like the bluegrass sort of is derivative of Kentucky, right. Was because we were sort of the segue from old time to bluegrass music.
What kind of instruments would be used? Obviously, we have an auto harp here, we have banjo, we have fiddle. Were there other instruments?
There was a lot of banjos, there was a lot of guitars, auto harps, fiddles, I think I said that, upright basses and washtub basses that they made themselves. A lot of people made their own fiddles and they would take cigar boxes and they would piece together banjos, and they made a lot of like gourd banjos. And then a really unique thing to old time music is we have bones, and it's literally like pieces of like cow rib. And you play them in a certain way that creates like this really unique percussive effect and adds to the syncopation. And that's pretty unique to old time music. And the jug, like the demijohns, that's played a lot in the jug band, string band music too.
Thank you.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Local Honeys on Red Barn Radio.
Have you had the opportunity to play some of these old, like a cigar box fiddle, a gourd banjo, anything of that nature?
I haven't. I know at the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music, where we go to school, there's some really, really old, awesome instruments, but they're kind of on display. They're kind of, just to look at, but it's really interesting. A lot of them have been passed down through Jesse's family, right?
Yeah.
Jesse Wells, who's the archivist at the KCTM, he has like a cigar box fiddle, and it's really neat to see people making these instruments just with what they had. So it's pretty cool.
I was wondering if you could talk a little about the KCTM, the Kentucky Center of Traditional Music.
It's located in Moorhead, Kentucky, mm-hmm. and it's part of Moorhead State University. It is the only school accredited by the National Association of Music to get a bachelor degree in traditional music, which that doesn't just mean old-time string band music. That means bluegrass, Celtic, Western swing, blues, old-time country, string band. I know I'm forgetting some, but it's a very unique place for students that don't have an outlet for their heritage. And I actually never even knew about this music. My mom had tried to expose me to some things when I was younger, but it didn't really click until I came to Moorhead and I first heard it. And I became sort of swarmed in this field. I think their main mission is to create practical musicians, working musicians.
And me and Linda actually met last year when we both were in the old-time string band together, and we got comfortable with playing with each other because we're both students at the KCTM. And Stephanie is actually an instructor at the KCTM. Nobody ever believes us when we say that, but she is. And that's how we met her. We met her last semester. And so it's a good outlet just to meet other musicians who are interested in the same type of music that you are, because that's kind of hard to find, especially at our age, being this young. People don't want to play music from the 1800s most of the time, but
before.
So it's really cool to be around people who are collectively into the same thing that you are.
In a scholarly environment.
Yeah, in an educated environment.
Beans and you across the table, eating them beans, making love as long as I am able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love again all over. Goodbye, don't you cry, I'm going to Louisiana. Buy a coon dog, a big fat hog, and marry Susiana. Sing song, ding dong, I'll take a trip to China. Cornbread and butter beans and back to North Carolina. Cornbread and butter beans and you across the table, eating them beans, making love as long as I am able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love again all over. And drinking booze, it goes against the Bible. A necktie will make you die and cause you lots of trouble. Streetcars and whiskey bars and kissing pretty women. Women, yeah, that's the end to a terrible beginning. Cornbread and butter beans and you across the table. Eating them beans, making love as long as I'm able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love again all over. Well, I can't read and I don't care, and education's awful. Raising heck and writing checks, it ought to be unlawful. Silk clothes and frilly hose, it's just a waste of money. Come with me and stay with me and say you'd be my honey. Cornbread, butter beans, and you across the table. Eating them beans, making love as long as I'm able. Hoed corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love again all over. Table, eating them beans, making love as long as I'm able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love again all over.
One of the things that a lot of people might notice when they see fiddle players from Appalachia from 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, some of them are playing down. They don't even put it on their shoulder. They just kind of keep it down. Is there a specific reason for that, or is that just a style that they picked up? I don't see very many these days doing that, but when you see it, it's fascinating because it's just almost like they're sawing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's more the traditional way to do it. The very first old-time music concert or gig I ever went to, I saw this old man playing the fiddle that way. And I was in physical therapy school at the time, so I was trying to, I thought, well, maybe he just, his shoulder just hurts and he's got arthritis and he just can't hold that fiddle up to his neck like he should. But then the more I learned about fiddle playing and old-time music, I realized that's how a lot of people used to play and still play.
I'm taking fiddle lessons at the KCTM from Scott Miller, and he was very adamant on hold the fiddle the right way. You know, your posture is very important, and holding the bow, you know, that's a structure that he wanted to make clear. And he told me, he said, you know, you see a lot of these old guys, you know, these old-time fiddlers, and they're playing down here on their chest, he said, but the main reason they did that is because they learned that from somewhere else. And they saw that it worked for that guy, and, you know, it was comfortable for them. He said, but we today, you know, we know that there's a better way to do it. And so why wouldn't you do it the better way that you can? So there are still people out there that carry on that, you know, that old-timey way of playing the fiddle. But if there's a better way to do it, you know, we try to hop on that train.
Yeah, my current fiddle teacher, his name's Nathan Kaiser, and he plays both ways, and when he's playing down here, he's usually singing, and it really helps because the fiddle's not right up in your ear, so you can hear your own self sing. So that's maybe another reason that people did it as well.
Necessity is the mother of invention. Right, right.
On Rocky Island, oh honey, oh.
burns, feed my wildfire. Every time it rains or snow, it put out on my fire. Born a rocky island, oh honey, oh. See my candy darling, you know I love her so.
Mama was a banjo player, and then I came along, and that kind of stifled that for a while. But she tried to expose me, and I just didn't take to it. I was obsessed with the Beatles for about up till now, actually.
Okay.
Still to this day. But I loved rock and roll music and reggae and funk and pretty much everything. But once I was swarmed in this heritage so deeply, I mean, Moorhead is a very cultural city. Even it's in the foothills of Appalachia, but it is such a very artistic and heritage-driven community. And I'm just really happy to be a part of somewhere that got me interested. I heard Jesse Wells play the fiddle, and I was instantly captivated by the music. And I have not looked back ever since.
Montana, what about you?
I started playing the banjo 2 years ago. I kind of just stumbled into this. I decided that I wanted to learn how to play the banjo. And so somehow, I don't know how I got turned on to it, but I found out that they had lessons at the KCTM. I didn't even know where it was. And so the first day of class, I was like 20 minutes late. And I was like, is this the right place? And they're like, yeah, you found the right place. And I just lucked into it. And at first I took bluegrass banjo lessons because I really didn't know the difference. I didn't even know that this genre of music really existed. And then I met Sarah Wood and Nathan Kaiser and all these old time players. And I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to learn how to play clawhammer. And then that's when I started actually listening to the music and picking out tunes that were from this region, from around my home and my family's, you know, ancestors' homes. I feel like I could be into this music for the rest of my life. And, you know, you hear the same old tunes, but you can hear them in a different way every time because no player plays the same.
It's a lot like jazz in that way.
I had come from East Tennessee State University's program, and that's where when I first started in that program, Raymond McLean was there. And I showed up to his office one day. I had been playing the auto harp for a while, but mostly just playing old folk tunes, not really confined to any certain genre. I didn't really know what to do with the thing, honestly. And I thought, I'll just go join a bluegrass band. And so I showed up at Raymond McLean's office at ETSU, and he was the director of the program then. And he said, well, you know, we'd love to have you in the program, but why don't you think about being in an old-time band? And I said, okay, not really knowing what old-time was. I just wanted to be a part of it, you know, just wanted to play. And so I got in a old-time band there and just fell in love with it and never looked back, never had any desire to go into bluegrass or another genre, just kind of fell in love with it. It was a journey, you know. It was hard for me to start out and listen to the really old scratchy records like I needed to. I kind of had to acquire my ear a little bit, you know, start with bands like Dirk Powell or you know, Riley Baugus, somebody that's current or recent, and listen to some good quality recordings, and then dive into the old scratchy stuff and listen to how these songs were originally done. And I think probably most of the people that I work with or am friends with, if they went through my iPod, they probably wouldn't really enjoy most of the music on there because it's old and scratchy and people they've never heard of. But it means something to me because it's from, a lot of it's from the region where I came from in East Tennessee.
Thank you.
was wondering if we have any folks from out of town that are here this evening. Where are you from, ma'am?
North Carolina, Lake Toxway.
I'm a North Carolina native. I was born in Charlotte, so good to see another North Carolina person. And what brings you to Kentucky?
We came over here to listen to these girls.
And what do you think?
Excellent. Excellent.
Got a couple other folks here from out of town. Where are you from, sir?
Alabama.
And what brings you to Red Barn Radio this evening?
Take in some good bluegrass music and the football game come Saturday. We love bluegrass, and my brother-in-law found out about this, and there's no way we could pass it up.
We are so glad that you're here.
Fantastic.
We'll be back with more of the Local Honeys when Red Barn Radio continues after the break. Experience the traditional music of Kentucky on Red Barn Radio. Stay with us.